Hello and welcome to Simply Reds. So we're back again. It's been a little while. It's been about a week or so since we've been off. Mujtaba, thoughts on why have we been off?
Well, we've been busy watching the Euros, to be honest. That's what it's been all about. Glued in front of the tellies.
That's true, absolutely. And we're going to cover some of the Euro games and how the lads have been getting on in that. We're not joined by Mitt, unfortunately. He's off gallivanting somewhere. I think he's off on some summer excursion. As he put it, so he's left us, so we'll try to keep you entertained as best we can. As always, a little bit of housekeeping and a little bit of admin before we get started. So if you want to know more about the show, more about us, and give us some feedback on how we can improve, then head along to simplyreds.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at @simply_reds, and we provide regular news updates on our Twitter feed as well. So that's the housekeeping done and dusted. We're changing things up a little bit here. So Mujtaba, what we're going to do for this particular episode, never be it said that I'm a dictator of the Saddam Hussein ilk. So let's keep it conversational. Let's keep it light. It's less like an interview as in previous episodes and more like a conversation. So let's get started. We've both picked a couple of topics that we want to discuss. So Mujtaba, I'll let you have the first talking point.
Let's talk about Ryan Giggs.
Okay, let's go for it. So as far as I know, Ryan Giggs's future is becoming a little bit more apparent. I think we talked a couple of episodes about what his position at United could possibly be and all that good stuff, but that was very much our own opinion. The reality of the situation is, or the reports that have been emerging, United have told him he can have pretty much any role he wants within the academy. So only the academy. So what are we thinking here? Has Jose put a few words into the ear of the management team at the upper echelons of Manchester United just to say to them, keep him away from my missus, or is it something else?
We haven't heard from Mourinho at all anyway. But yes, all just speculation. I mean, he was heavily linked to the Nottingham Forest job. And also the vacant Bolton Wanderers job as well, and he's been linked heavily with newspaper things he's going to take over tomorrow and things like that. So again, I don't know. I want him to be involved, but if he harbours ambitions of taking over Old Trafford, then he has to go out and manage another club.
Yeah, that's the key. So there's two like conflicting opinions that I think we're both having. One is the fact that we don't want to see him leave. We've seen him, like, I've grown up with having Giggs whether it's in a shirt playing at the game, or whether he's sitting on the substitutes bench, or whether he's for the past couple of years helping out on the sidelines. He's become very much a permanent fixture, so we don't want to see him leave. But also part of me wants him to go off and kind of, learn his trade elsewhere and then come back and potentially take over that. What a dream it would be if he could come back and take over that Manchester.
Yeah. If he does go off and manage another club, it actually means that he wants a United job in the future, which is quite exciting for us fans. Obviously, when Van Gaal was there, the plan was he'd do a solid 3 years, put us back up on the top, and then Giggs would take over. But obviously, that hasn't materialised. Now it's Mourinho's chance to do the same. And hopefully, if he does go off, he'll come back and it'll be our dream, won't it?
What do you think is the better route then? What do you think is the better route? Is it better for him to go off to for example, a championship club, manage them? Or is it better for him to work within the Manchester United youth academy and come up sort of that way?
I reckon he needs to go out and get some different experience of how other clubs work, how other institutions work. Obviously, bringing up a different ilk of player as well. Maybe it's more tough in the lower leagues in terms of player development, opportunity.
Yeah, just a different
and
setup.
The style of football as well. Yeah, different setup. He's used to the United setup. He hasn't seen any other way. That might hinder him, actually. So he needs to go out there and get some experience.
Playing devil's advocate, you could say he's at one of the best clubs, in the world. And he is, whatever he's going to learn or whatever there is to be learned, he can learn here. But I certainly see value in both sides of the argument. It's going to be an interesting one to see how that one pans out. Is there anything else that you want to talk about on the Giggs front?
Just one more point about the Giggs appointment. I mean, myself as well in the past, when Van Gaal got sacked, I wanted Giggs to take over immediately.
Yeah.
I said, people were like, oh, he hasn't got any experience. But I came out and said, neither did Zidane, but neither did Pep Guardiola at Barcelona. But looking back at it, Pep Guardiola and Zidane both inherited world-class squads.
Yeah.
We haven't got a world-class squad. So in hindsight, I don't think it's right for him to take over right now.
Well, I mean, what do you mean take over? You mean take over like the full-time position, or do you mean just take over from
full-time.
Yeah, no. Just for me, I mean, you talk about the Peps and the Zidanes and whatnot. I think certainly I certainly have followed Pep Guardiola in terms of kind of his career a little bit more closely, especially given the fact that there were rumours swirling around maybe even a year or two ago or a couple of months ago even, that he was going to join United. So I started digging a bit deeper, seeing what he was all about. Of course, he came from the. He's always sort of been deeply enshrined within with regards to Barcelona, very similar to what Giggs is. But he came up through the academy, so he was managing the, I guess whatever you want to call them, reserves, academy players, and then he took over the full squad. So I don't see why Giggs couldn't do the same. But then again, I don't know. We're not. I don't know. We've not got that. We've got a good academy, but I don't think it's anywhere near the type of players that Barcelona produce. So, yeah, I mean, my thoughts on this are, I think either way, whichever decision he makes is going to be the right one, whether he ends up sort of being in the academy and kind of coming up through that route, or whether he goes off and manages a championship club. To be fair, even if he stuck around with Jose, for me, I think that would still be, there's still some value to be had in terms of Ryan Giggs picking up some of the stuff from the best managers in the world. Speaking of, did you know, so I started doing a little bit more digging around on Jose Mourinho, not to get sidetracked too much, but I think this is an interesting point that the listeners might want to hear about. So we talk about modern managers and we talk about, you know, old school managers and all that good stuff. So I started looking up, like, sort of comparing Jose Mourinho's managerial style and kind of what he's into, you know, tactically and nutritionally, what really makes him tick. He tries to combine, like, in terms of what his, I guess, style of management is very, very modern. He combines the top kind of tactical nuances of the game along with psychology. Did you know that? So he's there's very much certain psychological elements to his game in terms of how he motivates his players. Whereas, say, you take two topmost managers at the moment in the game, arguably Pep Guardiola and Jose Mourinho. Whereas Pep Guardiola focuses very much on tactics and the football and all that good stuff, you've got Jose Mourinho, who focuses on the complete package. He focuses on the mentality of the players. He focuses on, obviously Pep probably focuses on nutrition as well, but I think Jose is just a more rounded manager. So I guess, Mushaba, did you know about his kind of psychology side of things that he's sort of bringing to the game?
I didn't, but I think in this day and age, it's quite vital to have that sort of interaction with the players. You know, we have a lot of young players coming through now with big heads. They need to be grounded. They need to be taught on the values of football, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. But looking at Fergie was really heavily involved in that sort of things as well. He was such
mind games. He's
so
that.
Good at man management. Yeah, mind games. So I'm looking forward to. I mean, Liverpool in the year they almost won the title, they brought in that psychologist, wasn't it? Can't remember his name. Yeah, so it's been used before, but obviously he didn't obviously do a good job in the end, did he?
Yeah, no, well, clearly not. I think he must have gotten into Steven Gerrard's head the wrong way. He got him super psyched up, didn't he? And then
Steve Peters, that was his name.
Did you Google it?
I did.
Fair enough. Yeah, I guess Liverpool are looking for a refund on that. Fair play to the psychologist. But I guess what Mourinho is trying to do is combine all of those kinds of different mentalities into one big badass football coach, and we'll see how that plays out.
Hey, I'm really looking forward to him.
Kind of got a little bit sidetracked with regards to, started talking about Giggs, and then we went on a little bit about Jose's managerial techniques and some of the nuances that he's going to bring to the game. It's all interesting stuff. Speaking of, I guess, shall we just, given the fact that the conversation is headed that way anyway, shall we cover off what are some of the first games that Jose Mourinho is going to be managing, just get our appetites a little bit. So give us the fixture list. What are you looking forward to? I know there's some preseason friendlies. Some of the games are in China, aren't they? So we're going to be up at the sort of like crack of dawn watching those games. What are the big games?
Yeah. So it's quite a short preseason schedule, actually. I'm not sure if Mourinho's had a hand in that or not, whether he wants to get to know the players close hand or not, and not get sidetracked by too many travelling and too many games. But yeah, first off, we're off to China, just to China. And we've got Borussia Dortmund first up, and then we've got Manchester City. And that's it. That's it for overseas. And we're back in England for a couple of games. So we've got Wayne Rooney's testimonial. Just two games overseas. So Dortmund, City, and we're back in England for Rooney's testimonial. Against Everton at Old Trafford, and then we've got a nice big game which I'm looking forward to against Leicester City in the Community Shield at Wembley.
Yeah, I guess it gives Jose a bit more time, I guess, to focus on the more sort of technical side of the game with his squad, as opposed to going out there and playing games. There's certainly value in playing games out there. But I think, yeah, maybe he just wants more quality time with the guys, keep them. Plus, let's not forget that there's been the Euros as well. So the guys are going to be out for, some of the guys are going to be absolutely knackered. So I think there's a little bit of that with regards to the
preseason. Yeah, Jose had a torrid preseason with Chelsea last year, so he'll be mindful of that.
Yeah, I guess he's learning from his mistakes, isn't he? Okay.
And as fans, let's not get carried away after Van Gaal's first preseason, which is the greatest preseason I've ever seen.
Very true.
We just destroyed every single team. We had destroyed Barcelona, Madrid, Liverpool. I was like, wow.
But we've destroyed Barcelona in preseasons before as well, but we all know that counts for nothing.
Yeah. So last Van Gaal's preseason, like I said, we swept away Madrid, Liverpool in the final actually of the International Champions Cup, and little bragging rights there. And even last season we had a really good preseason as well. So yeah.
No, we generally always have a sort of good preseason. I remember even a couple of seasons back where the some of the youngsters were playing some really good free flowing football. I think maybe we were over in the US, I think. But anyway. Okay, so that's sort of the preseason games. What about actually the lead up to the season? Any interesting fixtures? I know the fixtures have been released. Anything that whets your appetite in the forthcoming months?
I think just looking at the initial fixtures, we've got quite a straightforward run in, which is will be desperately needed. To be honest, it'll be a great opportunity to get the points on the board. And you're looking at the first three fixtures. The first fixture is away to Bournemouth. We lost to them under Van Gaal, so we'll be looking to put that right. And then we're at home, we're playing Southampton, who haven't got a manager in yet at the moment, so that'll be quite interesting. And then we're playing Bruce's boys away to Hull. Yeah, so I'm looking at 9 points today, so yeah, top of the table.
Especially under somebody like Jose, where we should be pretty much looking at those games and trying to bank those points. I think that's where the season's going to be won and lost, and it was the case under Louis van Gaal as well. It's not those big games where, to be fair, Louis had a pretty damn good record. It's more to do with these games where we can, whether it's a midweek fixture or it's kind of a tricky away fixture, we start losing points here, and that's where you see the Premier League slowly start losing grasp of the Premier League. Okay, so let's move on to look at, I'll pick a topic, let's go for the new Manchester United shirt. So I don't think anything's officially been released just yet, but as always every season what happens is we get pictures leaked very early on. Have you had a gander at the new Manchester United shirt?
I have had a gander.
What do you think?
And I actually really like it. It's
you sell out.
I think it's one of those kits. Yeah, I think it's one of those kits that don't look great in pictures, but once it's on the pitch, it'll look fantastic. It's one of those. It's a bit like that tablecloth one we had.
which actually
looks fantastic on the pitch, but in the picture, it looks horrendous. But I like it. I like it.
I don't know how I feel about it, but to be fair, this happens to me pretty much every season, and it's the same with the tablecloth one. Now all I remember, to be fair, now it just brings back blissful memories of Robin van Persie with that stunning goal. In from Wayne Rooney, and then just better days, wasn't it? Better days.
It brings back
memories of Robin van Persie sporting that beautiful shirt. And even before then, I think back in 2008 when we won the Champions League, when that first pictures of that shirt were first released, the one with the sports racing stripe in the back, I thought, what the hell is this? It's absolutely horrendous. And then looking at the fine athlete, the fine beast that is Cristiano Ronaldo wearing that shirt, and even to be fair, some of the other players, they look pretty good in it. And I think it's going to be the same story with this one. Not sure about the two-tone color at the front though. If listeners haven't seen the shirt, then just go to Google, type in Manchester United new shirt, home shirt, and you'll see it.
What do you think of the official blue away shirt?
It's okay. I mean, hasn't Maximilian Zlatan, that is the son of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, been spotted wearing that shirt? Yeah, it's true.
Didn't know about that.
Yeah. I've seen pictures. I think it was on Reddit or somewhere like that. Maximus Zlatan has been wearing that shirt, and rumors were rife that this is an indication Zlatan playing mind games and sending out the message, hinting out a little message to United fans that he's possibly joining. Funnily enough, I think if you look at Zlatan's son's first name, it basically, if you translate that, it means Maximum Zlatan. So he's basically named his son pretty much after him. Yeah, as if his ego wasn't big enough already. Yeah. Interesting factoid there for you, Mustafa. So I guess on the whole, we're sort of not sure about the shirt from a looking at it on the internet perspective, but we think putting it on is going to be absolutely mint. So moving on from that, I think over to you, Mustafa. Pick the next topic and let's talk about it.
Yeah, so as you can imagine, the transfer rumours are hotting up. Jose's been really quiet. He hasn't spoken. He hasn't had his press conference yet. So as you can imagine, the media are going absolutely mental. linking us with pretty much every single player on the planet.
Yeah.
But we've got a couple that, well, one actually that looks quite serious actually. So Borussia Dortmund's Henrik Mkhitaryan,
yep.
And the Armenian international, he's been heavily linked with us, and apparently we've had a bid of 30 odd million accepted. He's got 1 year left on his contract, so Borussia Dortmund might be looking to cash in.
Yeah, absolutely. So the information that I got about this particular rumour, and you're right, I think it's the hottest one on the press at the moment, is the one that's got the most weight, I guess, attached to it or levied against it. It's, I guess, the Armenian, you're absolutely right, he's got a, sort of 1 year left on his contract. The other kind of bits of information that I heard was the fact that it's his dream move as well. So when you've got a player like that, a player of his quality, and let's talk a little bit about the player first before we go into the details of the rumor itself. So he's an attacking midfielder. He's Armenian. Have you seen much of him over at BVB? I'll admit I haven't seen too much of him, but what I've seen of him has been pretty decent. He's got looks like he's got a decent pair of feet on him, both left and right. But I think he's sort of more strongly right footed. He can shoot. He's certainly got an eye for setting another player up. And he just looks like a comfortable attacking midfielder. Your player analysis, I guess, Mishra, what would you think about him?
I mean, the last time we signed the Bundesliga Player of the Year, it turned out to be a shower of shite. I like this guy. He's really good. He's very silky. He's quick. Really a number 10 player. I know he plays like on the right-hand side for Dortmund, but he is predominantly a number 10. Like I said, he was the Bundesliga Player of the Year. He's got plenty of goals, gets in double figures for goals and assists. So I'm just afraid of what will happen if we do sign him in terms of the future of some of the players we've got at the club.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I mean, like you know, I hold Mata very close to my heart.
Yeah.
And if Mkhitaryan does come in, does that mean it's the end of Mata? I hope not.
Yeah, I'm equally concerned as you, but it's not just Mata that I'm concerned about. It's our favourite little Spaniard as well. It goes pretty much in the same pocket as Mata, which is Ander Herrera as well. So what does this mean for Ander Herrera? All sort of players are the same sort of, I guess, playing style, the same sort of ilk. Very much, I guess, players who are not only that number 10 role-ish, but also kind of, I guess, you know, your more traditional attacking midfielder role that is something that they can play as well. So, yeah, I think it leaves their places in jeopardy a little bit. What does this mean? Does this mean that Jose doesn't see Mata again as a part of his plans? Of course, he got him ousted from Chelsea, and Mata moved over to United, and then ironically Jose joined Mata at United now. So it's a really confusing state of affairs. But what do you think is going to happen? I guess what's your prediction more than anything?
Some say that Mourinho sold Mata to United just so he can manage him at United.
He was planning the long game, was he?
That's it, yeah. Jokes aside, like you said, there's other players who may be affected as well, likes of Herrera, even Jan Uzay, Fellaini as well, although I don't want him at the club anymore, but he's still there. He's still pretty much a number 10. But also Rooney as well. What does it mean for Rooney? Does it mean Rooney will drop back into central midfield? Does Jose see him as a central midfielder? If not, I don't know. Where would he play?
I reckon, well, Jose's always been a massive fan of Rooney.
He has, yeah.
So I think what he might try to do is try to rejuvenate his career as he did with John Terry. I don't think Rooney's sort of attacking midfield position is going to be tenable for much longer. As I said, I think Jose is going to try to push him in his favourite sort of that striker's talisman striker's role. We've always had a gap, I guess, in attacking midfield. Dare I say, again, I'll mention the fact that since Paul Scholes left, I know towards the end of his career, he was more sort of a holding midfielder and whatnot. But yeah, as I said, we back in the days when we used to have that kind of balance of attack and defence with Roy Keane and Paul Scholes and whatnot, we've never really managed to have that in the middle of the park. And it sounds as if it's something that's on Jose's to-do list, and it's something that he's trying to sort out with this latest transfer rumour.
Yeah, he's definitely a more of a Jose Mourinho type of player. I mean, if you compare him to Mata, he gets about more, he gets stuck in a bit more. I think Mourinho would prefer him. So I think if we do get him in, I think it will be the end of Mata, I'm afraid.
That's a good point you raise. He's a more sort of mobile, a bit more of a stronger player, something that Jose Mourinho prefers, as opposed to I guess Mata is quite easy to slide sort of off the ball, push off the ball, shove around a little bit. And I think, yeah, we've seen it at Chelsea, and we've seen it at sort of teams that Jose Mourinho builds. He prefers that sort of bigger, stronger player, essentially. Okay, so that's kind of just touching on the topic of, some of the rumours, I guess. Speaking of rumours, so you picked up on the rumour of Mkhitaryan. I'm going to go for James Rodriguez. So I've heard on the grapevine that James Rodriguez is potentially unhappy at Real Madrid. And if we launch a massive bid for him, he's available to United. And we're looking in the region, a figure in the region of somewhere along the lines of, I think, 50 million. So first and foremost, Mutabo, what do you think about James Rodriguez? Is he the, I guess, as with any player that's going to be transferred to or looking to be transferred to United, is he the right man for the job? And what about the price? It seems like a hefty price tag.
I think that rumour is bullshit, to be honest. I love Rodriguez. I've got a lot of time for him. Amazing player. But again, I don't think he fits the profile of a Mourinho type of player. I think he's sort of cut from the same cloth as Mata.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge fan of Rodriguez. I'd love to see him at the club.
But what about... So how does he fit into Real Madrid's plans then? He doesn't seem to be getting... A break there at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's more a case of the sort of tactics Zidane is employing at Madrid. I mean, he tends to play one sitting midfielder and the two ahead of them. So he's got Casemiro and he's got Modric and Cruz, and he doesn't play the conventional number 10.
Yeah.
With the likes of Bale and Ronaldo with Roman come inside. So I think it's more of a case of the sort of tactics he's playing. That's why Rodriguez hasn't had much playing time over there, which is quite unfortunate for him. He's a fantastic player. We saw him at the World Cup a few years ago and he's phenomenal. He's had a good Copa America at the moment as well. Yeah, it's going to be either or, so I don't know.
To be fair, I think his lack of playing time at Real Madrid is playing on his mind a little bit. He looked a little bit out of sorts, to be fair. I only saw sort of 30 seconds of this challenge, but there was something plastered all over, I think it's one of the ragtag sort of newspapers, and it was essentially Sanchez pretty much destroying... Well, the headline was Sanchez destroys Rodriguez. I clicked on it and it's pretty much just Sanchez doing his usual pushing and shoving. And obviously James Rodriguez isn't the strongest player on the pitch and he got pretty much shoved off the ball. But yeah, just an interesting factoid for you guys. You're absolutely right. He's out there playing at the moment. So you think it's a complete BS rumour? I think it could potentially...
I think it is, yeah.
I reckon there could be some basis in truth to it. Or to be honest, I think it's more along the lines of, you know, when you're sort of... looking for a little bit more money. I think the likes of your Sergio Ramos type players, where I think he was in some contract negotiations or whatever it is, and he decided to chuck the statements out there that he loves United and all that sort of stuff just so he could get a bit of a pay rise. So I don't know what's going on with James Rodriguez. I think it's a big sort of marquee signing and he's a quality player. I don't think Real Madrid would want to use
him. Yeah, I think he's more of a luxury player, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, I don't think he's a Mourinho type of player, and I don't think Mourinho will be attracted to a player of his ilk, to be honest.
Fair play. Okay, so just in terms of transfer rumours, before we move on and look at some of the other subjects, anybody else that you want to pick on in terms of rumours that you've heard about?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke a couple of weeks about my priority if you were to make any signings, and I spoke about the need for a couple of centre-backs. I mean, we've signed one already.
Yeah.
Eric Bailly, his name, from Villarreal. Does it end there? Do we need another centre-back? In my opinion, we definitely need another centre-back. We need a world-class centre-back who will go in there and make the difference. I mean, if it stays like it is right now, our backups are Phil Jones and Rojo. I don't know what to say about that.
Well, clearly one is damn near injury prone pretty much as soon as he sort of steps on the pitch, and the other one's...
It's like a bull in a china shop, isn't he?
As useless as a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. That's how I would describe him. He looks like he should be an absolute world-class player, though, doesn't he? Just looking at him.
Yeah, I know. It's like he's got it in him, but he just can't be asked.
Yeah. No, you know what? I don't think it's even about him being asked. I just think he's just that cutting edge. I think it's just that final ball that I don't know. He's just sometimes he just seems a little bit lost on the pitch. I mean, he's got the sort of swagger about him. He's got that sort of slight arrogance about him, but he just. Yeah, he's just not got the footballing brain in him.
But similar to what we saw with David Luiz a few years ago, he's just too attracted to the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't do that when you're a centre-back.
Like a moth to a flame.
A couple of weeks ago, I spoke about a preference of centre-back, and I spoke about the German Mustafi, plays for Valencia.
He only scored, didn't he?
Yeah, he's playing in the Euros. Yeah, he did. He scored the opening goal, and I've been impressed with him again. He's a really good player. I'd love to see him at United.
But yeah, no, you're right. We need another well-established centre-back. Somebody that Smalling could potentially learn from as well. Somebody experienced out at the back there as well. And then we've got plenty of youth coming up, I guess, through the ranks as well. So You got your strong established centre back that Smalling could learn from. Smalling is pretty much United's future defensively as well. Let's be honest, and he's a quality player. Yeah, he loses his head sometimes, but he's going to develop into, I reckon, a world class centre back. And then you've got the youth products. I think in terms of Phil Jones, it's just the fact of the matter is he's just too goddamn injury prone. I think there was a recent game, I think in April, I was just sort of researching how Phil Jones' recovery was going, and sort of I think Louis van Gaal probably wanted to get him back into the swing of things, and made him play an under-21s game. The Twitter comments absolutely annihilated Phil Jones. I think he was getting nutmegged by kids. That's how bad it was. So I don't know whether it's his fitness, his recovery, I don't know what it is, but his growth has been stunted. Dare I say, very much like Jack Wilshere when he first emerged onto the scene. Phil Jones was pretty much the same. He was being heralded as England's great saviour defensively. And then things just took a turn for the worse, I guess. Just injuries and just stuff got on top.
Yeah, he was phenomenal when he first came. And I think, yeah, like you said, like similar to Wilshere, injury just ruined him, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's Phil Jones and our centre-back conundrum, as it were. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about our defensive woes, some of the transfer rumours. Let's talk about how the boys are doing in the Euros. So the big story at the moment is, of course, the Euros are going on in France. We've got a whole plethora of players playing out there. I guess, Mustafa, starting off, just I guess your opinions in terms of the best United player you've seen performing out there in the Euros. I'm going
to
put you on the spot.
To be honest, not many of our players have been playing a lot. I mean, a lot of them have been on the bench and whatnot. But Chris Smalling, I've been impressed with. He's been good for England. Yeah. Has been amazing, but he's been really good. He's played every single minute. So I've been impressed with him. I'd love to have seen more of Martial. Obviously, unfortunately, he's been on the bench for France.
Piatt's kept him out of the squad. I know we had a conversation before the first French game, and I was scratching my head thinking, why is Martial being left out in and Piatt's playing? But Piatt, boy, did he prove me wrong. He's come out, sort of, his stock has gone up based on these performances that he's putting at the Euros, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is Schneiderlin as well, France, who I was looking forward to watching as well. Unfortunately, he hasn't played a minute.
Yes, especially since the last podcast, you were boosting him up so much. I was saying we've got defensive midfield problems, and you were saying he's going to be our answer to that. And he's not had much play time either.
Morgan is bae. He's just amazing. Love him.
Just in terms of any other standout performance for you, any United.
I was delighted to see De Gea finally take the number one spot for Spain.
That's a good shout.
It's about time.
It
has been a long time coming. So yeah, I was looking forward to that. And he's had a lot of stick actually from the recent game where he let a shot in the near post.
Yeah.
It took a deflection anyway, so I don't think I'll look too much into that. But yeah, I hope they got Spain going and win it actually.
Yeah, no, he's doing. Speaking of De Gea, I think he's doing all right. I guess Spain haven't had the rub of the green as they would have liked in the European tournaments. I think coming into it, just like your big Germanys, etc., people are expecting them to pretty much cakewalk it, and it's sort of not gone their way. But I don't think David, as I like to call him, is to blame. But again, there's at this time you would expect rumours to be swirling around the fact that Real Madrid potentially want to sign him again. But I think, just reading up on some of the reports and some of what the media outlets are publishing, looks like that's quelled. So have you heard anything further on Real Madrid trying to buy him again? Do you think they're going to launch do you think they're going to launch a bid for him? I was going to say an astronomical bid, but last time they were in for him, they were just trying to pay peanuts for him.
Yeah, absolutely. The good thing is De Gea has come out and said he wants to stay at United and he's looking forward to Jose Mourinho coming, and he's this right sort of manager of United.
Yeah, but do you think he's just saying that?
Hall, actually. No, I seriously think he actually means it. He actually loves the club. He knows the fans love him. And to be honest, Madrid had a great season and they won the Champions League. And to be fair, the keeper performed really well throughout the season. So I don't think they're desperate for De Gea. If he's available, then I think they would jump at the chance. But I don't think they'd break their necks trying to get him again this season.
I think it's a classic case of, I think back in the days when, I think it was Carlos Queiroz who said to, I think it was Real Madrid, he sort of said to them, Pepe is a player that you want to sign. And they were like, no, he doesn't sell shirts. And then what happened? put an astronomical bid for him and signed him a couple of years later when I think they paid somewhere in the region of, what is it, 30 million?
Yeah, it was.
So I think it's another one of those stories whereby they know they've got success at the moment, they've got a damn good squad, and adding David De Gea to that isn't really going to sell shirts, or, you know, they've not got massive defensive woes either. So I think it's one of those where they're like, you know what, maybe we don't need him at the moment. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looks like we're almost approaching that 30-minute mark, or I guess we've just gone a little bit over. Any final stories you want to wrap up with?
I'm just looking forward to the end of the Euros, to be honest, and seeing the guys in pre-season. Like I said, I'm desperate to hear Mourinho's first press conference. We haven't heard from him.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to seeing any of the players during that two pre-season games? So the squad's going to fly over. Are there any particular players, any of the potentially the youth products that you're looking to see and take part in
absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing Fosu Mensah. I mean, he's come out and said he really wants to make a difference. He's posted a few pictures of him working out as well, saying he's really looking forward to pre-season. I mean, similarly, Memphis has done the same as well.
Yeah,
posted a video of him doing some curls and sit-ups. What, like, he's another player? Yeah.
What, like, who is it? Owen Hargreaves, back in the days when United released him, and he started posting pictures and videos of himself working out, showing the world, showing the clubs.
I think it's a trend, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, Memphis has done that, and so has Yanezai, actually. And Yanezai is interesting, actually, because it's a big one for him. It's do or die now for Yanezai. If he doesn't perform, he's going to get booted out.
Yeah, I think this is another crunch season for him. To be fair, I think it's pretty much the same with Ander Herrera as well, to be fair. I really think it's...
Given the fact that there's 10 players who've played in the Euros, they won't join up with the squad straight away.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity for some of those players to make their mark and impress Mourinho.
Very true, and they're going to be well-rested and whatnot, so a real good opportunity for them to put a good bidding in. Yeah, okay. So that's pretty much, I guess, the agenda as we wanted to cover it. Obviously, given the fact that it's the off-season, there's not going to be much stories apart from, obviously, the Euros, as those kind of games develop and we head towards the end of the Euros, and, you know, whoever's going to be crowned the champion, we'll bring you all of those Manchester United-related stories as they develop. But apart from that, all we've got to go on at the moment is those all-important transfer rumours. So we'll continue to bring you those over the forthcoming week. I think our schedule is going to be a little bit up and down in terms of our release schedule. We've not fixed a day as to when we're going to release these episodes. So I guess just keep an eye out on our Twitter feed. And also, if you subscribe to us, you'll get the latest episode on your device of choice. So that's it, guys. It's been a wonderful episode. Munshaba, I'm going to put you on spot again. Tell them who we're going to sign next time we talk.
We'll have Zlatan signed, sealed and delivered now that he's been booted out
of the Euros. I've always thought you look a little bit like Mystic Meg there, Mustafa, and I think next time we talk, you're going to prove that. That's the end of the show, guys. See you next time.